Who knows what kind of loneliness is more agonizing? The one which befalls man when he casts his glance at the mute cosmos, at its dark spaces and monotonous drama, or the one that besets man exchanging glances with his fellow man in silence? Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 120, Frost Flower and the Biblical Vine. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
We begin today with a poem by Robert Frost. Not his most famous, and not his least known. It is from his earlier published pieces, and it is a truly wonderful work titled The Tuft of Flowers. The poem begins, I went to turn the grass once after one, who mowed it in the dew before the sun. The dew was gone that made his blade so keen before I came to view the leveled scene. I looked for him behind an aisle of trees. I listened for his whetstone on the breeze. But he had gone his way, the grass all mown, and I must be, as he had been, alone. As all must be, I said within my heart, whether they work together or apart. Let us pause for a moment and ponder the poem, at least the part that we have seen thus far. Frost describes himself coming to turn over the grass that had already been mown by another. At this point, there is, aside from the mown grass, no sign of that individual. No sound is heard from the mower, and Frost feels alone and reflects on the fact that this aloneness would occur even if they worked together. In other words, because the act in which they engage seems strictly utilitarian, profoundly pragmatic, nothing truly joins them. To read this part of the poem is to think of a passage in Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik's classic The Lonely Man of Faith, where he describes how two individuals, or even many more, can be in the same space, but with nothing truly joining them, and still exist utterly independent of one another. Existentially atomistic, or as he puts it, quote, who knows what kind of loneliness is more agonizing? The one which befalls man when he casts his glance at the mute cosmos, at its dark spaces and monotonous drama, or the one that besets man exchanging glances with his fellow man in silence? Who knows whether the first astronaut who will land on the moon, confronted with a strange, weird, and grisly panorama, will feel a greater loneliness than Mr. X, moving along jubilantly with the crowd, exchanging greetings on New Year's Eve at a public square. So Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, and it is this loneliness that Frost, as the narrator, feels as he reflects that all must be alone, to paraphrase his poem, and he adds, whether they work together or apart. But the poem does not end there. Suddenly, as Frost describes, another creature shows up and reveals that the one who had mown the grass had deliberately left a flower for this creature, thereby allowing the creature to alight upon it. Let us continue the poem. But as I said it, swift there passed me by, on noiseless wing, a wildered butterfly, seeking with memories grown dim o'ernight some resting flower of yesterday's delight. And once I marked his flight go round and round, as where some flower lay withering on the ground. And then he flew as far as I could see, and then on tremulous wing came back to me. I thought of questions that have no reply, and would have turned to toss the grass to dry. But he turned first and led my eyes to look at a tall tuft of flowers beside a brook. A leaping tongue of bloom the scythe had speared, beside a reedy brook the scythe had bared. So Frost writes, in other words, he as narrator suddenly sees a flower and another, indeed a tuft of flowers, that, as he puts it, the mower had deliberately spared. Frost continues, I left my place to know them by their name, finding them butterfly weed when I came. The mower in the dew had loved them thus, by leaving them to flourish, not for us, nor yet to draw one thought of ours to him, but from sheer morning gladness at the brim. The butterfly and I had lit upon, nevertheless a message from the dawn, that made me hear the wakening birds around, and hear his long scythe whispering to the ground, and feel a spirit kindred to my own, so that henceforth I worked no more alone. In other words, Frost is telling us that in their shared admiration of the flowers, their shared delight in the fact that it had been spared, suddenly he, as narrator, coming to turn over the mowed grass, feels a kinship with the mower, and they are no longer alone from one another. they are joined to one another. All thanks to this bit of flower, this tuft that has been spared. For me to read this poem is to consider a commandment in Leviticus that is our mitzvah for the day. It is known as olalot, and it is similar to the obligation of pe'ah, the command to leave a corner of one's field for the poor. Here, however, we deal not with grain, but rather with grapes. The language in Leviticus 19:10 is v'karmecha lo te'olel, which is rendered in the Sepharia translation as you shall not pick your vineyard bare. The verse refers, according to rabbinic explanation, to small grapes that have not become normally grown, and the obligation to use frost language is to spare it so that the poor can come and partake of it. So here we have an individual harvesting a vineyard and deliberately spares a bit of bounty, creating a covenantal connection to another. The passing poor person may not even know the name of the one who has left that bit of grape, just as frost has no idea, seemingly, of the name of the mower that has preceded him. But the bond still endures. The connection is made, and a small branch with a bit of fruit spared links one to another. After Frost describes himself as working no more alone, he concludes his poem as follows. But glad with him, I worked as with his aid, and weary sought at noon with him the shade, and dreaming as it were held brotherly speech with one whose thought I had not hoped to reach. Men work together, I told him from the heart, whether they work together or apart. So the poem concludes. Which one is it? Was Frost right when he first soberly reflected that, in his words, whether they work together or apart, loneliness still exists, aloneness endures? Or, rather, shall we say with his final words, men work together, whether they work together or apart? The answer for Rabbi Soloveitchik lies in whether we feel a covenantal connection to others. This is the only bond that bridges. For Frost the flower, but for the biblical farmer, the grape, reminds of obligation and connection, and an image that even in a less agricultural age is still enormously impactful. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.